Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Scott Rutter. Hi, Scott. I'm so sorry I called you so late.
That's okay.
Scott is here to talk about his thoughts about the presidential debates of a couple of nights ago. So, Scott, what was your overall impression?
What was my what?
Overall impression.
Oh, it was, if we want to, you know, say something humorous, I haven't been so thoroughly entertained by 90 minutes of television for some time, primarily because I don't watch that much TV. But, unfortunately, this wasn't a comedy show. It was real life. It was the top two contenders for the leadership of our country, for the position that, regardless of how the world views us, still is the most powerful person in the world, whoever occupies that position, with the capability at their fingertips to destroy all of humanity a dozen times over. And the debate, it doesn't even deserve the title, the immature, childish exchange that took place was a discredit to both men, both parties, to the entire nation, and it made America the laughingstock of the world. It was just an absolute demonstration of the dysfunction that has gripped this country for some time and is personified by both the president and the former vice president.
When you said dysfunction for a long time, would you share your thoughts on when this dysfunction started and why it started?
Well, I mean that's a deep question. I'll say this. Most of America, first of all, the United States is not, like any country, is not a, single dimension place. It's a very complex, blending together of, not just 50 states, but all the different cities, all the different cultures, all the different ethnicities, that we have linked together with this infrastructure. Both the physical infrastructure and, the infrastructure of radio and television. We've overlaid what we call a national, this healthcare system, even though it's not a nationalized healthcare system, it's the American healthcare system. You've heard it before. The Americans have, we have the best healthcare system in the world. So we've overlaid that. We've overlaid education. Everything is there. And, we all function in our own little bubbles, our own little cocoons, and for the most part, the majority of Americans, go about their daily basis. We can make the complaint, hey, there's potholes in the road. Oh, my medical bill was too high. My insurance payments are too much. They take too much out of my paycheck. I don't have enough at the end of the day. But we make it, but we just barely make it. Paycheck to paycheck, we don't have enough left over to have a quality of life. And remember, that's sort of why we're on this earth. We're not on this earth to work ourselves to death. We're on this earth to have a quality of life. Otherwise, what's the purpose? But, so as Americans, we work ourselves to death. We barely make it at the end of each month. But we keep saying, this is America. We're the best country in the world. Then the pandemic hit. And what have we learned from the pandemic? That we don't have a healthcare worthy of a system worthy of the name. It's unable to stand up to the stresses that have been placed on it by the pandemic. What did we learn about our economy? That it can't function. It doesn't have any resilience. One bit of stress. Stay at home, people. The economy collapses. And this is what I mean, that this level of dysfunction that has emerged from the shutdown, the national shutdown because of the pandemic, has shown us that dysfunction has existed for some time. This isn't something that happened overnight. This isn't something that just sprang up because of the pandemic and the pandemic response. This is something that has been around. This rot has been, you know, working its way into the American system for decades, if not longer. Racism. How long has racism been around in this country? How long have we paid, you know, too much to a military that is incapable? I mean, you know, when you put $760 billion into a military per year, it should work. It should function. But we're finding out we can't do anything. Why? Because they just waste money. The waste, the fraud, the abuse is systemic, not just in the military, but in every aspect of what we do as a nation. So that's what I mean by the dysfunction. And from this, and this dysfunction has been sustained politically by two political parties that apparently exist only to put money in their own pockets, to pass laws that further enrich those who put money behind their candidates. This certainly doesn't exist for the average American. And so it doesn't shock me that at the moment of America's greatest dysfunction, the two candidates that the parties have put up to become president are the most dysfunctional candidates imagined. If this is the best we can do as a nation of 320 million people, to have a Donald J. Trump and a Joe Biden up there saying, that's it, that's the choice we got. It's no wonder the debate was the chaotic mess that it was, because that's what we deserved.
Wow. So, you know, it seems as though Trump didn't follow the direction of his handlers, but said anything that he wanted to. And Biden, he just seems unable to keep up with Trump. Do you think there's going to be more debates?
I don't know. I mean, that's a fair question. I think this was such a debacle and such an embarrassment. I don't know how any responsible news organization could go forward with another debate as is. But I can also say this. It's not the news organization to make a quality debate. We have two candidates who stink, who are horrible. And what we saw the other night was the best we're going to get out of these two. It's not the job of a news organization to buff this up, to put polish on it, to make it look good. This is what we got. You can't put a mute button on the president of the United States. Even if his name is Donald Trump and the words that come out of his mouth disturb you, he's the president of the United States. You don't mute him. The media does not have that authority, does not have that right, does not have that privilege. And you don't mute his challenger. The man who, if he wins the election, will be the president of the United States. I'm sorry, media, that's not your role. Your role is to broadcast these two men doing what they want to do. And if they want to stand up there and make absolute fools out of themselves, then that should be put on display for all of the American people and all of the world to see. It's not the media's job to fix this. The media wasn't elected by anybody to do this. This is a self-appointed role that they're trying to assume as the guardians of the nation, and they don't have that role. I'm not going to give it to them, and no candidate should either.
But it seems like all of the cable networks have their own slant. They don't report the news.
That's been going on for decades. It used to be that, you know, the big three, ABC, CBS, NBC, had actual news departments that reported the news. But they put their talking head on for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour every night. The rest of the day was spent making money that allowed them to have credibility when they reported the news. But when we went to a 24-hour news cycle, and cable news came in, the news stopped being the news and it started being entertainment. The news division didn't exist to report the news, but it became yet another division that had to turn a profit as part of an overall business arrangement. And so nobody's reporting the news. This is all entertainment. This is why we see networks assuming a personality. Fox News is the conservative network. CNN is the liberal network. MSNBC is who knows what they are. They're the schizophrenic network. But the point is, these people exist to make money. Rachel Maddow is not on TV to give us the news. Rachel Maddow is on TV to make MSNBC money. End of story. She could be the most respected journalist in the world. I don't believe she is, but she could be. She could be out there telling the truth every night. She isn't, but she could be. But if she did that, told the truth, had the respect, but wasn't making money, they'd pull her off the air in an instant because they don't care about the quality of the programming. They care only about the quantity of the profit generated by the advertisements that are sold during the programming. So let's stop pretending that anything that exists on TV today is responsible news. It is not. It is simply a corporation spinning events in a manner that generates a profit margin for their shareholders. These are not news broadcasters. These are not journalists. These are businessmen and women, salesmen, saleswomen, selling a product, and that product is entertainment. It's not news. And in that way, as I said, the debate was a wonderful success. It was entertaining. I mean, I was laughing my head off in the middle of it. It was just foolish. But, I tuned in, other people tuned in, and the advertisers, paid the price they wanted that were charged for the time to, I mean, I guess there was no ads, but the people who underwrote this, brought in a lot of viewers, and that was a business success for the TV industry that night. But it wasn't news. It wasn't responsible. It wasn't intelligent. It was entertaining. The dumbest kind of entertainment, base entertainment.
Now, back in the early 2000s, when you were on a guest on MSNBC a few times with Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue tried to report the news accurately. Am I correct?
Phil Donahue made an effort. He had Phil Donahue tried to treat topics with respect and with integrity. He had a producer, I believe his name was Jeff Cohen, who was again somebody who had a high degree of integrity. And so they tried to bring on experts. For instance, if they wanted to talk about Iraq and weapons of mass destruction, they asked me to come on as an expert. And they didn't feel a need to seek balance. Phil Donahue was the balance by the way he asked the questions and, the follow-on questions and led the discussion. But the purpose of bringing on an expert like myself wasn't to, have balance. It was to inform the viewership about expert opinion. And the viewership then got to make a decision whether or not they agreed or disagreed. The viewership didn't have to sit there like dumb bunnies while they sought balance. But what happened is MSNBC, again, is a business. And at that time, MSNBC, like all the other major networks, were in the business of selling a war, because war is good business for the news. Bleeds. There's death. There's destruction. There's despair. There's fear. There's anxiety. There's every basic trigger possible to have people turn on the TV and get glued to the television set. And so when Phil Donahue brought on someone like myself, who through their expert opinion were articulating a message different than we need to go to war, the MSNBC was threatened. Mr. Cohen speaks about how if they brought me on, they had to immediately follow up with a panel of three other people who weren't experts but who disagreed with me. So for balance, quote unquote, balance. Well, how do you balance the truth? If one person's coming on and speaking the truth and you bring three people on, what are they speaking? It ain't the truth. It's a lie. And that's what happened. They have Phil Donahue's program, and the fact that ultimately it was pulled off the air is a perfect case study of why integrity no longer exists in television today.
I recently read a book on O.J. Simpson, and before the murders, you know, he was kind of given a wink and a nod because the cops were called a lot of times to his residence because of domestic violence. And the cops, you know, kind of tapped him on the shoulder and didn't do much to him because he was a celebrity. He got away with all the domestic violence because he was a celebrity. Now, when I think back to 2015, when Donald Trump was on all of the cable stations, and I'll use Morning Joe as an example. Mika and Joe were right up his butt. They were, like, having him on the show, you know, having him phone it all the time. And it was the cult of personality, really. I think that's what propelled Donald Trump to the presidency. And once he got into the presidency and things soured a little bit, and, you know, he didn't give issues that were, you know, good for the American people, that's when the media turned against him. But the media was with him because of his celebrity and his cult of personality. Would you agree?
Well, they were also with him because of his celebrity and his cult of personality. Whenever you had him on as a guest, the ratings went up. I mean, that's just the way it was. It was funny. He threatened. In fact, he did. He pulled out of one of the debates just to make the point. And I believe it was CNN who was hosting it. One of the Republican, primary debates. He just told CNN, I don't need you guys. I don't need this debate. I don't need this format. I'm going to pull out. Your ratings will tank, and I'm going to go do an interview, and that interview is going to be the highest rated interview in the land. And he was right, because he brought with him that aura, and the media loved it. There was no integrity. The media, if there was integrity, people would have treated him like the joke candidate he was. He got billions of dollars of free advertisement because every time he opened his mouth, the media played it over and over again, no matter how reprehensible the words were that he was saying. They repeated over and over again. They're the ones that made Donald Trump normal to the American people. Had the media instead said, you and I can get up today, grab a microphone, go out in the street and say the most vile things. We're not going to get anybody to play those words on radio or on television. But Donald Trump does it, and boom, they're going to broadcast that over and over and over. He didn't have to do advertising in the traditional standpoint. All he had to do is go out and say something, and boom, they're going to play it over and over and over again. Because it was about ratings. Donald Trump was great for the ratings. And now that he's president, you know what's great for the ratings? Attacking Donald Trump. And that's what they're doing. Because, again, remember, the formula isn't fact. The formula is fear. The more you make somebody afraid, the more they're going to be anxious and they're going to turn on and they're going to want to see something that either, exacerbates that fear or alleviates that fear, or does a combination of the two. This is straight out of 1984. This is straight out of Animal Farm. This is pure public manipulation, and the media does it on a daily basis.
And the people who broadcast this stuff, they don't have any qualms about what they're doing?
They make The first time you show qualm, you get fired. Literally.
Wow.
If they have any integrity and they dared raise their hand and speak out, they would be fired. They wouldn't have a job anymore. None of these people have any integrity, and they all know it. They all know it. Look, if I were working for CNN and I, you know, attended one of their, you know, weekly, you know, let's plot how the news is going to play out this week meetings, and I raised my hand and said, this makes me uncomfortable. Why don't we do it, you know, why don't we show some integrity? First of all, they would fire me from CNN, and second of all, because every other news outlet operates the same way, nobody would hire me. Nobody would hire me. So these guys play the game wherever they're at. And that's why you see, you know, some of these professionals able to seamlessly transfer from CNN to Fox or from Fox to CNN. Look, if you had any integrity, if these were news organizations that operated with integrity, somebody who worked at Fox couldn't work at CNN because ostensibly they're totally different media organizations. They're the same media organization. They just play the news game from a different angle. But at the end of the day, their sole job is to spin the news in a way that's most entertaining for their respective audiences. Entertaining, not informative.
And right after South Carolina, when Biden squeaked through, all of a sudden, Biden was the knight in shining armor. Bernie Sanders was thrown under the bus. Would you say that Biden is legitimately the nominee of the Democratic Party?
Ah, well, look, would I say that Joe Biden is legitimately the nominee of the Democratic Party? With a capital P,
uh-huh.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The Democratic Party leadership is the one that made South Carolina happen. They're the ones who manipulated, you know, the endorsement from, I think it was Clyburn. They're the ones who, you know, got, you know, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar to you know, withdraw at the last second and go over to them and to bring all their delegates with them. This was a carefully manipulated, you know, takeover by the Democratic Party with a big P. The question is, were Democrats well served? And the answer is no. The average, you know, run of the mill American citizen who registered as a Democrat who thought they were participating in a primary process where their vote mattered, where their voice mattered. They were the ones who were sold down the river. These are the, you know, the Democrats, the small town Americans. They were the ones betrayed by the Democratic Party. So Joe Biden is the legitimate, you know, representative of the party, but he's not the legitimate representative of the people. And this is why, you know, this could be, you know, one of the reasons why he's going to lose. And you saw the dysfunction during the debate where, you know, he pushed aside he dismissed Bernie Sanders and in doing so dismissed a whole bunch of supporters of Bernie Sanders, where he strong-armed, you know, AOC and her green economy her plan. It doesn't mean that I agree with her or I agree with Bernie. What it means is that there's a lot of people in the Democratic Party, small people, who do agree with these two people. And they thought that they were going to be part of the big tent. Everybody was going to come together. And what emerged in that is that Joe Biden said, I am the party. You don't matter. Only I matter. Only what I believe matters. Only what I want matters. And I think that that's going to hurt him far more than than Donald Trump's poor performance helped him. I think a lot of the Democratic people who, you know, felt betrayed by what happened in South Carolina and afterwards, but were holding out in hopes that this would be a big tent Democratic Party, were shown the reality during the debate that, no, this is the party of the elite few who handpicked Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is going to do their bidding and everybody else be damned, especially if you're AOC or you're Bernie Sanders, two of the most powerful progressive voices in the Democratic Party today, and they were both dismissed out of hand by Joe Biden.
This is the house of cards. It's going to fall someday, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, whose house of cards is going to collapse quicker, Donald Trump or Joe Biden, or just the whole American infrastructure? It's all a house of cards. Everything's built on a lie. There's very little truth left out there. And when truth does exist, most people aren't equipped to see it, to recognize it, to act on it. I would think that Joe Biden's, strong arming, his betrayal of the Bernie Bros and the AOC, the squad, it would cost him votes. I would think that these hardcore true believers in progressive, politics would be alienated by what he did and won't show up. It's not that they're going to go over and vote for Donald Trump, but they aren't going to show up on Election Day and vote for Joe Biden, because they feel betrayed. That's the risk. We'll see. We'll see what happens on November 3rd. But, that's why when people ask me, who do I think won the debate? I mean, my first response is, all I know is America lost. But when you look at it from a purely pragmatic standpoint, Donald Trump didn't lose any supporters on debate night. He solidified, those who support Donald Trump continue to support Donald Trump. Joe Biden probably lost a lot of supporters on debate night, especially, supporters of Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez, who feel that they were betrayed by Biden. And then the other thing is the so-called non-aligned voter. They were so disgusted that many of them are just going to opt not to participate and stay home. So Donald Trump, by not losing any voters, won, because Biden lost voters, and voters that could swing to Biden aren't going to participate. And, this is the danger for Joe Biden, that Donald Trump's base may turn out to be just enough to win a national election.
Wow. So, Scott, our time is up for today, but I really enjoyed talking with you. I hope my audience likes hearing you, and I hope you'll come back as the campaign unfolds, and even after. I think there's going to be a lot of turmoil in the country. So I look forward to talking with you again. Would you mind coming back on?
It'd be my pleasure.
Thank you. So you've been listening to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and you've been listening to Scott Ritter. So if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.